Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Buenos dias. ¿Cómo está la gente de Dios? Qué gusto saludarles. Well, I know how to speak a little bit of English too. Nah, I'm just kidding with you. Just I speak pretty good English. Everybody happy here today? Hey, did you guys hear about this? There's this pastor down there in Mexico. Before he would preach, he would take a drink of milk, just a cold glass of milk. And this was a very serious thing. It was so serious that it was a little sister and the lady. It was her job. She had the job. It was called the Ministry of the Glass of Milk. And she'd put it up there. He would drink his glass of milk, open the word, start preaching. Couple of the young people, you know, there's these young people in all churches, they decided they'd play a trick on the pastor that Sunday, and before the lady of the ministry of the glass of milk realized that they put tequila in the milk, stirred it up. She brought the glass of milk out, pastor takes it, he takes the drink and goes all the way to the back of the hallelujah. And then he says this, God bless the cow that gave that milk. Gonna have some fun today. We're gonna learn. Lift a hand to the sky. Just say, I believe the power of the Word of God will change me. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat. Let's get going. I'm going to talk to you today about why we worship. Why do we worship? We spend a great deal of time in our church service worshiping. Why do we worship? Is it because it's just part of our Christian tradition? No. Is it because we have to feel a certain amount of program? So let's sing a few songs. No, thank you. Is it because we're singing a couple more songs so we can give some more time for all the late folks who always come in late? You know who you are. Don't look at anybody right now. No. There's some powerful reasons why we worship. Did you know that worship is the second most talked about subject in the entire Bible? There's more said about worship than almost anything we speak about. So today I'm only going to give you three reasons why we worship. How many? Three. Now, we could talk all afternoon about worship, but I'm only going to tell you three reasons why we worship. In John chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus says to the woman at the well, the Father is seeking true worship. It's up here on the screen. The hour is coming, now is. Everybody say, now is. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking. Now, when I read this scripture a long time ago, I was about 17 years old, and I was studying music. I was very involved in music. I loved music. And when I saw this scripture that the Father is seeking, I thought, now that's a shame. Why does the Father have to go looking for worshipers? You know, when you're looking for something, it's because there's a lack of it. When you're looking for bread and milk, it's because you need bread and milk. When you're looking for your keys, it's because you can't find keys. Why is it that God has to look for I wonder if God were to show up in this section over here, you think he might find a few worshipers over here in this part of the... I'll get back to you on that in just a minute. I wonder if he were to come over here in this section, you think he'd find a few worshipers over up in here? Did y'all hear that? Now you guys, I wonder if he'd find any worshipers in here. Y'all heard that? All right. I'm going to give you guys another chance because I snuck up on you. You think he'd find some worshipers over in this section? Hey, we even got some that jumped up. Of course he will. Now, I'm only going to give you, you're going to want to write these down, so find something to write with. Maybe you have a smartphone, or maybe your phone isn't that smart, but you got a way to write something down. There's only three things I'm going to talk to you about today. Number one, are you ready? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Just write it down, then I'll explain to you. Thanksgiving. You see, when we worship, we keep our vocabulary in Thanksgiving mode. And why is this important? It's important because Thanksgiving is the way to get into God's presence. It says in Psalms chapter 100, verse 4, it says, enter his gates with what? In order to get into God's presence, everybody says, I want to be in God's presence. Everybody wants to be in God's presence. But you can't get in without coming through the gates of Thanksgiving. It's just the entrance. People who get into God's presence are thankful people. Do you know what language is spoken in heaven? You know, here in the United States, we speak English. In Mexico, they speak Spanish. In Germany, they speak German. In France, they speak German. In Russia, they speak. What do they speak in heaven? Thanksgiving. No mumblers and grumblers in heaven. Only thankful people. Can you imagine in heaven these streets of gold, my goodness. How come nobody ever sweeps up all this dust, gold everywhere? Or going to the marriage supper of the Lamb, they ran out of enchiladas. I want my enchilada. No people like that in heaven. Only thankful people. People washed in the blood of the Lamb. People have been clothed in righteousness. People had a new name given to them. Thankful people. And when we thank him and praise him, it keeps our vocabulary right. See, it comes out of your mouth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. Just now we sang the song, you are good, good. Oh, I love that oh part. That's really cool. When you say it with your mouth, comes back into your ears, hits you back in your spirit. You know, right about in here is where you have your spirit. That's why some of us are more spiritual than others. Say amen, bro. Right here on the front row. Comes back into your spirit and reminds you, God's been good to us. I'm looking around here, there's nobody dying of hunger. In fact, two or three of us could do some praying and fasting. Emphasis on the fasting. God's been good to you. He's been good to me. Do you remember where he's brought you from? Do you remember the situations he's gotten you out of? Come on, somebody's gonna say, thank you, Jesus. You know, I was raised in the city of Durango, Mexico. My parents were missionaries, and my dad loved going around preaching Jesus to all the little towns and villages around. He loved building these little churches. He built over 30-something churches in the state of Durango, Zacatecas, and Coahuila. And so there was three of us guys. My mom, when she'd buy a pair of blue jeans, it was for all three. One pair for three, because it started with the older brother. And then when he'd grow out of them, it'd come to the next brother, which is me. I was number two. And then when I was done with it, it'd go to brother number three. That's called hand me down. It's the testimony of several of us in the room here tonight or today. You know, then something really tragic happened to me. My younger brother got taller than me. So I got him third generation. By the time I got the pair of blue jeans, they had patches on them, because back in those days, moms would buy these patches that you'd put on the blue jeans with irons. You'd iron these patches on. My mom would buy these big, honking, brown leather pack patches. Now, what color is a blue jean? Blue. But she'd buy brown ones. And they started right about up in here, go all the way to down here. She'd put one on this knee, one on this knee, one on back here, another one over here. There was no way to hide those things. I'd walk around trying to, people would make fun of me. Today, you go into a store, they sell them to you brand new with the holes already in them. I'm like, why wasn't that the fashion when I was 10 years old? Would have saved a lot of psychological warfare in my brain. Now I look at myself, look at me. Whew. Do I look like I'm starving? Oh no. Food and I, we got a great relationship. In fact, when Pastor Dan was talking about those free donuts for first-time visitors, I signed up. This is my first time at this church. I want to go get me a few of them donuts. Somebody needs to shout and say, thank you, God. He's been good to me. When you say it, comes back in your ears, hits you in your spirit, reminds you, keeps your vocabulary lined up with the vocabulary of heaven. Thank you, Lord. Just raise a hand to the sky. Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I can raise my hand because I have fresh deodorant on this morning. Thank you, Lord, that I got to eat last night and this morning. You see, my dad went on to be with Jesus. He used to sing this little chorus. It says, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Come on, let his praise be heard. My mother went on to be with Jesus 8 weeks ago. Yeah, she's healed, glory to God. She's doing great, by the way. My mom, I have a very interesting story. My biological dad was killed for the cause of Christ in Mexico when I was two. My mother remarried the man who I call my dad. He was my dad for 39 years. He went to be with the Lord 12 years ago. And so he's like my stepdad, but he was actually my dad. So then 8 weeks ago, my mom goes to heaven, and both her husbands are there. I'm not sure how that works out, but I'm sure the Lord's already thought about all them things. So I've been kind of in this nostalgic mood, remembering all these old songs my mom and dad used to sing. This is one of my mother's favorite songs. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. Would you help me out? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done. Sit down. I told you I'd give you how many? What was the first one?
Thanksgiving.
Here's number two. Write it down. Number two, perspective. When we worship God, it keeps things in perspective. Now, one thing I know that we all have in common in this room is that we all have challenges. All of us. A lot of times it's funny, people ask me, Pastor, you mean you have challenges too? Of course I do. The only reason I have any authority to tell you anything about the Bible is because I've worked it out for my own self. You know, because just like you, I'm made out of skin and bones, just like you. I get hungry. I don't stay hungry for very long, as you can tell. Just like you, every now and then I get a cough. Just like you, every now and then I get diarrhea. Ooh, Pastor, you're gonna talk about that in church? Of course, it happens to all of us. In fact, there's probably somebody with it right now, just waiting for me to finish to go get justice done on the great white throne of God. Come on. We all have challenges. Some have challenges in the financial area. Some have challenges in relational areas. Some have challenges with a sickness. And maybe somebody has a swegra challenge. Swegra in the original Greek is mother-in-law. I don't know. But what I do know is that every one of us have challenges. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. Now, how many of you seen that promise fulfilled in your life already? Yeah, he says, but fear not, I've overcome the world. Now, what happens is, it's human nature to look at our problems and our challenges, try to solve them. We analyze them from the front, from the side, from the back. We ask people's advice. We look at these challenges so much that they become bigger than they actually are. And that's why when we worship God, we put our challenges in the perspective of God is bigger than any challenge anyone could ever have. Now, I'm going to illustrate it to you this way. I have in my hand just a little bottle top. Not very big when you look at everything around here. But see, this represents a problem. This represents a challenge. So you bring this in so much, you look at it so much, and for so long, you bring it up so close to your eyes that the only thing you can see after a while is your problem. Now, you've got a skewed vision of everything around you because you're letting your problems get in the way of how big your God is. Now, problems are just like family members. They come in pairs. Especially if you're Hispanic. So now you got this one, and here comes another one, and you start analyzing it, looking at it, you bring it in close. Now look what happens. People can't see anything. Because all they're looking at is their problems. It's in this stage where people fall off the stage, bump into things, do all kinds of mistakes because they can't see anything because they're only looking at their problems. It's in this stage that people say crazy things like this. Where's God? I don't see him. Well, of course you don't. You're only looking at your problems. So what worship allows us to do is this. We sing, how great is our God? Whoop. How great is our God? Whoop. And now you see your problems in the perspective of how great he is and how small they are. Do you think we sing how great God is because God's forgotten he's great? Can you imagine God? Listen. How great is, I am great. I almost forgot. No. He hasn't forgotten that he's great, but many times we have. We sing it because we need to remind ourselves, God is bigger than any sickness. God is bigger than any disease. God is bigger than any fear. God is bigger than any need. Somebody's gonna get excited and help me preach. God is greater than anything that I might be facing. So lift up that hand and just say, thank you, Lord. You are greater than any desire, any need that I might have. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? Sing it out. And all will see how great. Is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And I will see how great is our God. Spirit comes back into your heart, and you walk out of here knowing God is bigger than my problem. Woo! Is this helping anybody out there? Number three, how many did I tell you I was going to tell you? Three. Then I'm going to go have some lunch. I got to feed this temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh. Number one, what was number one? Number two? Here's number three, just write it down. Warfare. Hello. You see, when we worship God in spite of our circumstances, this shows faith. Everybody say this word with me, faith. Now the Bible says faith pleases God. It makes God happy. It moves the heart of God. It moves the hand that rules the universe. Oh man, that's powerful right there. When you have faith, it stirs God to action. Because no matter what you're going through, he still deserves to be praised. You see, I don't praise him because he gives me good things. I'm glad he gives me good things. I praise him because he's worthy to be praised. I don't praise him because I need a healing or I need this or that. I praise him because he's God. He's worthy to be praised. So in spite of what I might be feeling or thinking or going through, he still is worthy of a praise. So when you worship God in spite of your circumstances, it moves him to fight on your behalf. Now, I don't have enough time for us to go through all the times in Scripture where God fought on behalf of his people while they just stood and sang and worshiped. But I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I believe, and in fact, I prophesied over you right now that while you've been in here this morning worshiping, he's been out there fighting for you. Some of you are going to go back to your house, and there's going to be news waiting for you that the battle has turned in your favor. The tide of the battle is turned in your favor. You might not get it today, you might not get it tomorrow, but he's out there fighting for you in Jesus' name. See, you have to understand. Come with me for a minute to the throne room of God. He's seated on the throne. Gabriel, the archangel, is at his right. Michael, the archangel, is at his left. Or maybe it's the other way around. Some theologian will set me straight someday. But I know they're around there close to the throne. The point is this. He's seated on the throne and he hears you singing. Then sings my soul. He stands to attention because the Bible says, let God arise. When he hears your praise, he stands up. And when the king stands up, it's because stuff is about to take place. Stuff is about to happen. The king stands up. Now, he looks out over there and he sees Joe back over there. Now, if your name is Joe, it's just a mere coincidence. Let's call you Pepe. That's what Joes are in Spanish, Pepe. And he sees that Pepe's back there and he's struggling. Pepe's having a hard time. Pepe's got 9 kids because he's Mexican. That's just a fact. There's no racism in that statement. We like big families in Mexico. Say amen, Pepe, wherever you might be. And Pepe's back there wondering how he's going to buy 9 pairs of tennis shoes, how he's going to come up with 9 gifts for Christmas. And Pepe's back there. But Pepe knows who his provider is. Pepe knows that it's not his job. His provision comes from God, who sees all things. And God's up there and he's looking over there at Pepe. And God turns to Gabe and says, hey, Gabe. You see Pepe back there? Gabe said, yes, sir. He's got 9 kids, bro. Christmas coming up. But look at him out there. Got his hands raised. Got his heart raised. Got his song raised. Gabriel, I want you to go tell Pepe back there that everything's going to be just fine. And about that time, Gabriel sends a message. Now, Pepe, he doesn't know what's going on in the throne room. He's just down here singing, Cuán grande es él. 9 kids, Cuán grande. I love this. This is the best one I've done of all 3 services. Pepe. And all of a sudden, Pepe didn't know that conversation happened in heaven, but somewhere down here in his spirit, all of a sudden Pepe, he felt it. Everything's gonna be fine. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. I'm gonna be fine. Now, let me ask you a question. Hasn't it happened to you? Maybe it happened to somebody this very morning that you've been worshiping and just, you don't know how it happened, but all of a sudden, you felt it down in your spirit. I'm going to be fine. That was God sending you a message telling you, you're in his eyes. You're in his hands. He's never going to let you go. 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 I like that song too. Now, what's the second part of this? So Gabriel goes over there, tells Pepe, Pepe, everything's going to be fine. Pepe says, everything's going to be fine. 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 Todo va a estar fine. So he keeps worshiping. Now, what's the second part of what happens? You ready? Yes. He turns to Michael. You know who Michael is? He's the warring archangel. He turns to Michael and says, Mikey, come on, use your imagination a little bit, folks. Goodness gracious. Mikey, I want you to grab yourself 2 or 3 little armies. Well, actually, Pippa's got 9 kids. You're going to need a few more armies than just 2 or 3. You see? And I want you to go fight on Pepe's behalf. I want you to go get him some bonuses and raises and all that stuff we just declared earlier. And boy, there goes Michael. And while Pep is in here just lifting his hand and worshiping without him even knowing it, God is out there fighting on his behalf. Ladies and gentlemen, these are not fairy tales. This is the word of God. He will fight for you. Somebody need him to fight for you. He will fight for you. You just got to stay in faith. You know, I hear people say, I don't come to the worship time. I just come to the preaching. Man, you're missing out. You haven't well, that hurt. That illustration hurt. You haven't figured out. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, when you lift a voice of praise, it says God descends and he inhabits the praises of his people. He wants to fight for you. So, where's the band? Come out here. This young drummer guy, that dude, what's your name, son? Andrew, how old are you? 21. Married, single, divorced, wanting? He's single. Ladies, lift up your eyes and behold, the fields are white unto harvest. Greatest drummer I've heard in a long time. I'm telling you right now. Now, look up here real quick. Stop looking at the drummer. That reminds me, when I was in Bible school, there was this lady. She couldn't get a husband to save her neck. And we'd finish praying and she'd say, amen, Lord. Amen. Amen. So, well, I kind of took a detour there real quick. You guys are fun to preach to. Only the people who have a challenge are to stand to your feet right now. Everybody else, y'all can just stay seated. Only those who have a challenge of some kind. Yeah, that should be everybody, actually. Because we all have challenges. Now, I believe with all my heart that while you've been in here this morning, he's out there fighting on your behalf. For your kids, for your family, for your health, for your finances. If you believe it, just say amen real quick. So lift up your hand to the sky. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe your word, and I believe you fight on my behalf. Fight, fight in Jesus' name. Now I want you to look at this scripture real quick. Psalm 46 verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. You see, when you're down here working it out, trying to figure it out on your own, God's looking down. Gabriel is saying, Lord, do you want me to send him a message? Michael's, Lord, do you want me to send some angels and some armies? And then hang on, guys, look at me. Down here fighting it out on his own. Go ahead, baby. Fight it out. But when you finally get tired of it, you gotta get tired of fighting for yourself. And when you won't fight for yourself, God will fight for you. He'll fight for you. Be at peace. Be still. Just say it out loud. Be still. Tell yourself, be still, oh my soul. Let God fight for me. Fight for my family. Fight for my health. Fight for my finances. Fight for my church. Fight for San Bernardino. Fight for my town. Fight for us in Jesus' name. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out. Shout it out. All right, hang on. All right, we just got through saying we're gonna shout it out. When we get there, let's give him a shout. Come on. You ready? So when we get to that part, we will shout it out, as hard as you can. Ready? God is fighting for us.
Pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken.
In the name of Jesus,
the enemy's defeated.
And we will shout it out.
Shout it out. God is fighting for us. Pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom
that cannot be shaken. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, bring people to the feet of Jesus. Open the eyes of our understanding to know that only Jesus Christ is victorious, Lord of lords and King of kings. If you're here today and haven't given Jesus Christ the throne of your life, that's where it's got to start. He's got to be the Lord. He's got to be seated on the throne. You say, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, it's real simple. It's just a prayer of surrender. Of you getting off the throne and letting him take the throne. I want to ask every one of us to pray this together. Because in a room this size with these many people, there's someone who's going to pray this for the very first time in their life today. So if you're going to pray this for the very first time, say it with all your heart. Just say out loud like this. Dear Jesus, I need you. I make you my Lord and Savior. Please come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Now this next part, say with all your conviction you can come up with, very seriously, say, I believe that Jesus is the Lord. And I believe that God raised him from the dead. And I receive the gift of salvation. Amen. Now look up here real quick. If you prayed that for the very first time in your life, the Bible says you just went from spiritual death to spiritual life in Christ Jesus. It's God's gift of eternal life. And I can understand somebody saying, well, Pastor Marcos, I didn't really feel anything when I prayed that just now. You don't have to feel anything. You just need to know that when you prayed that, your name was written in the book of life. Your name's in the book. Just dare ask, if you prayed that for the very first time, or maybe you prayed that a long time ago, but you got away from the Lord, you got cold, and today you say, I'm rededicating my life to Jesus. If you prayed that for the first or second time, would you mind just raising your hand proudly? Because we want to give you a big clap. Hand, 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 hand. Oh my goodness, there's hands everywhere. There's a hand. Somebody needs to get excited up in here. There's a hand. There's a hand. Come on, give Jesus a shout. God is fighting for us.
Lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, the enemy's defeated. And we will shout it out, God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness.
Pastor Marcos, that was a brilliant word, and I believe that everybody in the room, come on, did you guys appreciate that word today? So good, so healthy, so wonderful.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.